Good morning, everybody. Welcome into What's Up with the Guys, home of the Monday Morning Quarterbacks on Saturday. I am Sonny Clark, the hardest working man in sports radio. Ready for a 4 to 5 hour ride, depending on what the situation is. And believe me, folks, there's a lot to talk about. You want to get in online, this is your opportunity. 347-637-2306 is number to get a hold of Sports Talk with the Guys and me, Sonny Clark, here on a Saturday morning. Did the fill-in yesterday for also Matt Alvarez over there on the Sports Opinion Show with Matt Alvarez. Get on over there and take a listen as well. It's been an interesting week as far as sports news is concerned, and when Big Dog is able to give a call in, we'll talk a little bit with him about some of the news that's been going on. But yeah, the big story that has been leading into everybody's sports week has to be about what's going on with Jonathan Martin and Richie Incognito. I say this because it's one of these stories that has had a full week to, you know, kind of come to fruition, if you will. Full week. And I did not even get involved with any shows until yesterday, because this is one of these subjects for Sonny that it's a little bit different than what a lot of people have to deal with. My daughter is the founder and the owner of Abby's Pledge, which is an anti-bullying campaign, and she's a 10-year-old. And my daughter has talked to me about this. It's really interesting. Not because she heard someone say the bullying part of it, but just by what has ended up happening as far as Jonathan Martin was concerned. And I think that's one of those things where you take a look at it and you go, wow, if a child recognizes something like this, it might be something to it. And I say that because my daughter is smart. My daughter is one of these kids who's smarter than me, which scares the hell out of me half the time. And, you know, it's something that doesn't go away. It's something that is always out there, especially for kids who deal with it. Now, you got to take a look at the times, too, as far as that kind of stuff is concerned. And I say that in a very a different way. It's different. I mean, I say that in a way because old-school mentality, a good old-time hazing, has never hurt anybody. And the fact is that old-school thinking and old-school mentality has been taken out of a lot of things. And old school people such as myself can look at some of these things and say, man, what a wuss. So as football has changed over the years and years that it has, I mean, you can see the difference. All you have to do is go in, and I'll tell you what, I have a video collection called the Super Bowl from 1 to 30. And all you got to do is kind of watch this thing go from years to year for the difference between 30 years of the Super Bowl. And the difference that the game of football has changed over the years on the football field is some things that people never thought would be changed. I mean, the big hits are being taken out, hitting a quote-unquote defenseless player, and these kind of things, and rule changes, and spearing, and how you tackle, how you don't. All these rules have changed from the 1990s and into the early 2000s to where it is now. And it has changed the scope of what the NFL is all about anymore, isn't it? It's not a rough and tumble sport anymore. It's a business. So now that the NFL is a business, you got to kind of take a look at the difference of what kind of business that it is. We're talking not just a multi-million dollar business. We're not just talking just a multi-billion dollar industry. It's a mini billion dollar industry. I mean, if you go by some reports, they've come out and said that the NFL is worth $11 billion. There's been reports out there that says that the NFL is worth $18 billion. Okay, so depending on where you, I'm kind of like in the middle. I think it's around 15. So when I take a look at this and I see the type of business that this is, and that's the only way I can kind of do it because I run a business and I love sports. So when you run a business and it's within sports, and I do that part too, okay? I run a business that is sports, and I also run another business that pays for the things within my home. And there are differences. There's a difference in what kind of things you can and cannot do within the type of business that you're in. And the football is ever-changing right now, especially the NFL. Whether it be from certain time of hits, whether it be from protecting the quarterback too much, or whatever the case may be, has changed, okay? And it's changed for the good of the business, not for the football itself. Because if it was about the football, there'd never be any changes in the NFL, any rule changes or protecting players and things of that sort. So, because I'm going to tell you there are many players, and I've talked to many retired players that look at the game of the NFL, and they'll say, this is not the game I used to play, and I'm glad it's not part of it. I'm glad I wasn't a part of it. And that's got to make you question what has gone on as far as the NFL and as far as football is concerned. So that having been said, this Richie Incognito and this Jonathan Martin situation is a big-time story because, first of all, we have 24-hour sports. That's the way it works. I mean, we've gone from just sports on the weekend to sports being half-day. I remember when ESPN wasn't on full 24 hours. Then they went full 24 hours. Then they start dabbling in a lot of major sports. ESPN becomes the sports quote unquote worldwide leader. And say what you want, there's a lot of money within business as far as sports are concerned. Obviously, all you got to do is look at ESPN and what's going on over in Bristol. And all you got to do is see what kind of impact that ESPN has on sports. Say what you want. If ESPN went to a college basketball team and say, hey, we want to put you on TV, but we want to put you on at 2 o'clock in the morning, a college actually has to give that some serious thought, as ludicrous as that sounds. So why has it become this way? And it's because of changes. The changes that we've seen in sports media, I mean, in sports media, it used to be just hard-nosed journalism. Then it loosened up a little bit. Then you got the All Sports Network. Now you have the Internet. Now you have the reporters on the Internet. Now you have bloggers. You see the transition of change that needs to happen. So in the time where you can see Mike Ditka, Bill Parcells, these tough-nosed coaches and things of that sort, when you take a look at those kind of things and you see what is actually going on right now as far as coaching is concerned and everything else, you've got to ask a question. Why do we not see these quote-unquote, and this is a term of endearment, dinosaurs at the coaching? Why are we seeing an influx of younger type of coaches coming into the game? Why? Because as well as the NFL is changing, so are the players. And the reason why they're changing is because it's a different time and it's a different type of raising of the children and you're getting a different type of sport. You got kids that are being brought up and that are playing professional sports now that got a trophy for everything that they did back then compared to back to the day. If you didn't win or get first or second place, you didn't get a trophy. Now everybody gets a trophy. So there's a little bit of difference about the players that are coming up in that are playing in the NFL right now compared to the hell just within the 10 or 15 years. Because this thought of everybody gets a trophy is something that has come along in the last 10, 15 years. So the different mentality of the kids that are coming in and playing. And then you got the right of entitlement because guess what? You can deny it all you want, but it happens. Deny it all you want, but it has happened and will happen and always will happen. Now, say what you want about whether or not that's right or wrong or indifferent. It's irrelevant. It's just the way that it is now. And there's nothing you can do about changing that. That atmosphere is always going to be there. So when that atmosphere is always there, you got a different type of player. That does not mean a different type of player that is mainstream does not come in, such as a Jonathan Martin. And this is where this whole situation, this whole week, I've been watching it all week develop, and I've been watching it on purpose without saying anything. Because of the sensitivity that I have to my daughter's organization called Abby'sPledge.org, check it out. It's an anti-bullying and harassment and abuse. She's a great advocate. So the changing of people's attitude goes with the type of players that are in there. And there are so many side angles to this story. First, it started as a story. Then it went to voicemails. Then it went to Richie Incognito, how he treated Jonathan Martin. Then they started digging up the things that happened with Richie Incognito in college. Then they dug up the things that happened with him when he was with the Rams before he went over to Miami. Then we got the voicemails. Then we got the way that he was treated. And the stories go on and on. And just the recent one, Richie Incognito and the Miami Dolphins settling with some young lady for an undisclosed amount of money. You know something happened there because the agreement was on underneath negative. I can't even say the word. So something happened there because she's not allowed to talk about it. She settled it, and nobody says someone did wrong, but we all know something went wrong. We all know, and some of the stories that are coming out is Richie Incognito got very inappropriate with a young lady and a golf club, and the stupid things that young football players do sometimes when they're not thinking. So what I did in this, folks, and this is really an interesting thing that I've taken the time, is I put Richie Incognito's name on one side and Jonathan Martin's name on the other. And put a line right down the middle. And what I did is I put Jonathan Martin's name on one, Richie Incognito, and started writing down what has happened as far as the story is concerned and where did the story come from? Was it a Richie Cognito story or was it a Jonathan Martin story? And folks, I got 4 lines of Jonathan Martin and 14 to 15 lines of Richie Cognito. Now, you may say, Sonny, you're doing something that's very simplistic. But usually, and I say this because it's my experience. Now, a lot of other people, they may not have experienced this, but all you got to do is see the quote-unquote writing on the wall. And what I mean by that is that this story is not about, the story is about Jonathan Martin, but the most you're hearing about is Richie Incognito. you hear about Jonathan Martin on a couple of things. He left the team. He felt like he was bullied. Did you hear the silence there? Because that's really all we're talking about. Jonathan Martin hasn't said a word since the thing, but rightfully so, by the way. And all the people in the media saying that we need to hear from Jonathan Martin, no, we don't. He's already stated what's going on out there, so much so he went and got an attorney to reiterate what he said, which was, I was bullied and harassed, and people were driving me nuts, and here's the proof. And he's been quiet, because guess what? Jonathan Martin doesn't have to defend himself, okay? These are not things that are in question. These are things that happened. As they say in the court, these facts are not in dispute. Whether it be Jonathan Martin telling you what happened to all the stories that are coming out about Richie Incognito. And sometimes silence is deafening, isn't it? And that's what we're getting right now. Jonathan Martin doesn't need to talk. He hires an attorney that just reiterated everything that he said. And we're all quiet, and we're not talking about Jonathan Martin. We're talking about Richie Incognito and what kind of guy that he is. And every time you bring up something, all you got to do, Jonathan Martin reminds me of the Cosby Kids. And I say that with a term of endearment because I love the Cosby Show. But if you look at this situation, that's what you got here. You got a Cosby Kid. And by the way, folks, and just for the record, Jonathan Martin's father's white and his mother's black. But regardless what it is, that pigment of the skin is definitely black. Not that that means anything, but everybody's trying to make a story of that part too, which is completely and utterly ridiculous. But, you know, when I looked at this list here, and I pulled it up, and when I made this list, and I was putting down the things that, you know, what's going on regarding Jonathan Martin and Richie Incognito. Jonathan Martin, what happened? One side of it, you know, these guys are college educated guys. I mean, Richie Incognito's no dummy. And all the things that you're hearing about some of his teammates, they love this guy. But Jonathan Martin did exactly what he was told as a kid. And there's a couple of reasons why he was told it. Jonathan Martin was told as a kid that fighting never solved anything. And the only reason why, and I don't even need to ask him that, just by the way that he handled this whole situation, you know that that's the way he was taught. And folks, you know, and I'm hearing stories from other NFL players and stuff, and some of the things that have been coming, you know, and one of them, I just read it, you know, about, you know, 30 minutes before we came on the air, is another football player that was an offensive lineman who got hurt. His name is London Martha, whoever knows, Martha, I'm sorry, and people who know about football know who he is. But this is what this guy says. He says, playing football is a man's job. And if there's any weak link, it gets weeded out. It's the leader's job on the team to take care of it. Really? Is that his job? Is that the leader's job to find weakness, or is that the coach's job? And one of the things that I find very interesting about this whole situation is they're talking about this guy, Jonathan Martin, you know, being weak link. Well, folks, let's not forget this guy protected the blind side of Andrew Luck while he was playing in Stanford. Has never missed a game, by the way, just to let people know that you want to question his physical toughness. There are many players within the first 2 years of their career who are supposedly superstars that don't make it to the football field. Jonathan Martin made every single one of them, and while he was in college as well. You want to question this guy's physical? Now, you want to question his mental stuff just because he won't get in somebody's face, just because he won't fight with someone, just because he listened to his parents when he was young and said, when the parents said, hey, fighting doesn't solve anything, and that includes the football field. I don't know. It just seems like one of these crazy stories to me. And what the stories you're hearing, oh, they were great friends. Those are classic examples of what bullies do when they get bullied. They try to befriend the bully and hopes for it to go away. And that didn't happen here. A year and a half. Let's go ahead and bring on Tarvin. Good morning, Tarvin. How you doing, my friend?
I'm good. How's it going, Sonny?
I'm doing good. It's been a long week, hasn't it?
It has, and I just arrived in Knoxville, Tennessee to watch Auburn, Tennessee play. But, yeah, this story has dominated the media. And, Sonny, I'll tell you, at first I was on the side of the victim in a way. You know, you hear about it, but then when I started thinking about it, I'm kind of neutral. I think both of them are in the wrong, actually.
Mm-hmm. And that's some people are talking about that. Some people are trying to justify it in certain ways because that's what football is. You know, football, you know, has – everybody says, well, football hasn't changed. Well, that's not true. Football has changed, and not only has football changed, but so have the players. So you're getting a different type of weed of player as far as the football is concerned as well, Tarvin, right?
Yeah, you are. I mean, football players back in the day, Sonny, were tough. I mean, they would go tell on anyone. They would be too embarrassed. And I'm not saying that this guy's a pussy or anything, but to me, if I'm 300-something pounds and I'm an offensive lineman, there's nobody I'm afraid of. I mean, I'm going to eventually warn you a couple of times, and then after that, it's on. And if you get your butt kicked, you get your butt kicked, but never do you go rat out somebody like this. I think you're a grown man. You can handle it for yourself, and I think he ruined his career, Sonny. I think he has ruined his playing career.
I'm wondering, see, and you're not the only one that thinks this way, Tarvin, so you're not coming from left field or anything. It's really interesting because, you know, at the part of my spiel that I don't know if you heard or not, you know, Jonathan Martin kind of did what he was told to do when he was a kid. All right, which was don't start a fight, don't get in there. There's no need to do it. And I don't want to throw a race up on this too much because I don't, you know, there's a lot of race problems with this, but really the whole situation doesn't have to do with race. However, the culture of some of the black culture that is out there, and I'm not meaning to throw this on as, you know, something that is, you know, very, very familiar with a lot of people, but sometimes the answer within the black community, instead of talking about it or walking away from it, is to bring it to fisticuffs and to handle your quote-unquote business with your fists or get physical about it. And Jonathan Martin didn't want to do that. Jonathan Martin decided that the game of football is physical enough. It doesn't need it to be taken outside of what's on the football field. You know, There are so many examples of hazing gone wrong, okay? And what I do is when I look at this and I look at these two players, I kind of think of – do you remember the movie back in the 80s? It might even been the 70s called Animal House.
Yeah, I do. I remember parts of it. It's been a long time.
Yeah, Animal – and that's kind of the way I look at this situation. I kind of put it in an Animal House. You got the sophisticated guys and, you know, and then you got the Delta Tycoon, and the Deltas are doing anything to embarrass the fancy-ancy people, and the fancy-ancy people try to find a different way of getting them in trouble. This is what it sounds like to me. And I'm like right in the middle. I completely see both sides of the story. I'm leaning, obviously, a little bit more than Jonathan Martin, and I say this because all you got to do is make a list of what happened, and you'll see that less things happened on Jonathan Martin's side, and Richie Incognito has been put underneath a microscope by his actions.
Yeah, and I just question, I mean, it makes me really think about the leadership of this team in Miami, the way something like this could happen. Are you telling me you're the head coach here and you don't understand what's going on your team? People aren't talking.
Don't believe it.
Somebody dropped the ball, Sonny. Several people dropped the ball, and I think several are going to lose their jobs because of the way they handled it. When you're in leadership, you're held to a higher standard. And these guys have shown they can't even lead their own team. So I think there's going to be some heads rolling pretty soon once more of this comes out.
And why not? And I say that because if you look at the history of this football team, what has this team done lately except get Ryan Tannehill and try to make him into an NFL quarterback? The rest of it is a complete and utter mess. And so as far as what has been happening on the football field as far as Miami Dolphins, you could say, well, this is just yet another reason why there needs to be a change, whether it be at the head coaching or general manager position, because ownership isn't going anywhere. Okay, so that part is, it's almost like Jerry Jones. You just got to accept the fact that there's not going to be a change in ownership. However, there's going to be changes elsewhere. In Dallas, it's not going to be at the GM level. However, in Miami, it can be.
Yeah, I mean, this is, and I don't know if you heard, there's a quarterback that came out, the Sage Rosenfeld or somebody like
Sage
that.
Sage Rosenfeld,
yeah. And talking about how bad the GM was at Miami, how terrible he was. And if you come out and say that, you're currently, you know, trying to get work and everything. To come out and say that takes balls, but it ought to say something. When you have ex-players coming out saying you're the worst owner they've had, GM they've had in eight times, and eight people that's been his GM, I mean, how bad he was. Something else is going on in Miami, Sonny. When you don't have, when he's your leader, and his name skipped my mind, Incognito's your leader here, I mean, there's a problem. I mean, this is the person that's leading your clubhouse. You have
that's
to have
a problem. Absolutely.
You have to scratch your head on that one.
Yeah, well, and you got to scratch your head just because of the history, not just within the NFL when he was with the Rams before they got rid of his ass. You got to go back to college and see what kind of guy this is, and you can say what you want, okay? And I've been told, you know, Tarvin, that I'm a very simplistic person, okay? But when you have been convicted once, twice, three times of something, you're pretty much a punk thug, okay? And guess what Richie Incognito is, if you go by that theory? And I know it's simple. I know it's very simple. But you don't hear a lot of these stories about some of the other players. You only hear it from the punk thugs that people don't like. I never have liked Richie Incognito anyway. From his time when he was in college, I heard from this guy. And that's the thing. When you're hearing from college players on a negative side before they even make it to the NFL, that's a problem. And then after they make it to the NFL, they're still going on with their same BS that happened when they were in college. You know that there's a problem within the person that is playing in the uniform more so than the college itself or the NFL football team. However, in Miami's case, the football team is in complete disarray. And I want to throw this out to you, Tarvin, since you're here. Is it Miami? Could this be Miami ownership fault? Now I'll say the reason why. This ownership does not seem to want to have the responsibility of writing the checks. And I say that because of the new ownership that is involved, the celebrity ownership of the job, the Gloria Stephans and all these other celebrities that are quote-unquote part owner of the Miami Dolphins, which is the only one in the NFL that I know of that has, you know, seven or eight celebrity ownership of this football team. Could that be part of the problem?
Yeah, I think it is, and I blame them for not wanting to spend the money, but also bringing someone with character issues and flaws to your organization that you're trying to build back up, and you're letting him have a leadership role on the team.
Yes.
That speaks bad of the team in general. It speaks bad of the coach. It speaks bad of the GM. It speaks bad of everything. We wonder why Miami is not really a relevant team. I mean, think about it. I mean, they don't win football games because they don't have leadership, really.
Right.
And I mean, Tannehill should be the leader of that team right now, but obviously he's not, and that's a problem. If I'm a Miami fan, I'm worried about my quarterback now.
Well, I think I want to go on the opposite. I'm glad that you mentioned that because that was actually on my list of things to talk about. Should Ryan Tannehill be the leader of this football team? And right now, this is what I'm going to tell you straight out. Ryan Tannehill is so smart not being a part of this quote-unquote leadership, and I'll tell you the reason why. It's imploding without him being there. And with him there, would it implode? And he's got the opportunity to go in there and make the change, right? I mean, you think about it. I mean, Ryan Tannehill is not considered the leader, which by everybody's standard in football, everybody knows that the quarterback should be the leader of this football team, without question. I mean, it's the main focus of any football team is your quarterback, and he's not considered one of the leaders on this team. That's a problem, because that's a problem that comes from the people who hand out those titles, and that's within coaching, and that's within the GM portion of it. But if you're Ryan Tannehill, you just want to wipe your forehead and go, whew, man, I'm glad I dodged that bullet.
Well, I mean, somebody there, a true leader, would have caught on to what was going on and stopped it before it got out of hand. And if anybody knows their lineman, Tannehill does. He knows what Mark's all about and what's going on. He knows there's problems. So I just question him. And a leader, sometimes they make the unpopular decision sometimes, but it's the right decision. He didn't make it. He just played the coward, in my opinion, in this. And I know he knew what was going on, and he did nothing. And that, I question him now. I'm putting it on him as well. And I know that may be unfair, putting it on him as well.
Well, I think you can, and I don't think you're too far off in that thinking, Tarvin, and I'm going to tell you the reason why. I don't think you're too far off on that, because what happens is, in order to become a leader, you got to take that first step to be that leader. And the fact that this has had a year and a half, this has been the whole time that Ryan Tannehill has been there, he's had that opportunity to step in, and he hasn't. So I see your side of it, because that part makes sense. You know, usually in the NFL, you have to earn leadership. And this was an opportunity for Tannehill to do that. I don't put so much blame up on Tannehill, more so than the whole situation of management and everything else, is because we don't always know what's going on behind the scenes. But the one thing I do know is that the microphone is a very powerful element in the NFL. And if that was a situation where he was going to step up and be that leader, he could have used that microphone to his advantage in order to start getting that step to become a leader of that football team and be the guy that people go to immediately. Not Richie Incognito. God, look at his background. You want to go to a Ryan Tannehill who has a clean slate and has nothing that you can look as really as far as negative, except for the fact some people don't think that he's an NFL-quality quarterback. But if you're going to become that NFL-quality quarterback, you've got to be, all of a sudden become an instant leader. And I think I agree with you. We're not getting that from Ryan Tannehill. So we lost Tarvin there for a moment. Maybe he'll get back in with us. But he is absolutely right. There's so many elements of this whole thing. And there's different ways of looking at it, and there are different guys. And I didn't want to bother because we have a guy that probably can shed a lot of light on it. In Tom McManus. And if anybody who's listened to my show, the Couch Potato Sports Show, they know he's an integral part of my show. And I know he's busy within production, and I didn't want to bother him with this. But I can just imagine the story drives him nuts. Being a former NFL linebacker, being the tough guy and everything else, and then you get the story about a guy who is not tough. And that, I'm going to tell you right now, that's the kind of story that would drive Tom McManus crazy. However, on the other side of it, I know it would also drive him crazy on the other side of it, too. I bet you right now Tom McManus has got mixed emotions about this situation with Jonathan Martin because of his background. I mean, and he said it on this show, on my show, the Couch Potato Sports Show. If you know, and this is a guy who completely and utterly respects his father to the highest extent, to where he praises him today, even though he's not with us. But he said it on my show. If there was a guy that just picked up on another guy just because they were weaker, his dad would not stand for it, and it would be unacceptable. My question that I would have for Tom McManus is how does that relate to the football field? And how does this whole situation, you know, work out from that side? And I'm telling you right now, he would articulate it great from a football stance. Now, we can sit here and talk about articulation, okay? One, Stephen A. Smith has been very opinionated about this situation all week. Normally, a guy I don't sit and want to listen to him talk. And this was another reason, you know, but I listened to him all week this week. And as much as it pains me to say, is Stephen A. Smith has been right on a couple of occasions about this situation. Of course, not on the right side of this whole thing. And his articulation goes to theatrics, which it did this week. And I watched on purpose just to see how he would handle it. And on certain situations, when this guy starts talking racism, normally this guy can usually talk to you in a cool, calm way. Once he gets into racism, he turns into a dramatic drama queen. And I say that with all due respect. But let's look at the list, shall we? I mean, the list is a very interesting list. Jonathan Martin, what did he do? He stood his own ground. Very intelligent dude. Listened to his mom, says you can't win a fight with your fists. You just can't. And that comes from his upbringing, and that, you know, that's why I compare him to a Cosby kid. Compared to a different kind of kid, maybe a different kind of income, you know, where solutions were not used by their brains, but more so by actions. And you can call me whatever you want, but there is a difference. So when you take a look at it, you know, when you look at this, this is not the, okay. It is, but it isn't. This is not the NFL's fault, but it is. And I say that, you know, because the NFL, it is their fault because this is their product. Not more so, they're a victim of their own product here. And I actually got a little blame on the NFL. Because out of all the changes that the NFL has done and all the issues that have been brought up over the years about football and about what football is all about, the NFL has made changes in order to make them to be quote-unquote politically correct. How they missed out on the bullying side of this is completely oblivious to me. And now this is also coming from a guy, I don't necessarily know what the rules of the NFL are regarding hazing and stuff like that. I'm sure it's on the book that it's not allowed or accepted. And here's the problem with that. They got to sit with that, if that is actually true. Just like Bountygate. There were rules in place about actions regarding players and what they do that are considered the Bountygate scandal. The NFL had rules in place for it. Did the NFL have rules in place regarding treatment of players, or was that a quote-unquote understood respect? And that, my friends, might be exactly where the NFL may have dropped the ball. With them being so politically correct over the years, and since Roger Goodell has taken over to a certain extent, it's all been about political correctness. And here's another thing, just to throw this completely out of left field, the NFL is glad this is going on. And Sonny, you're crazy. No, I'm not. Because every time they have a stupid-ass issue like this, and folks, you can sit here and say whatever you want, this is a stupid-ass issue. The less they have to answer for how much money that they make as an organization and what the real true worth of the NFL is. They're glad this is going on. They want to answer to this question more so than how much money you guys make, really. And if you don't believe that, you're just not thinking right. They love the fact this is going on. Now, they'll sit and deny that, but I'm going to tell you right now, I'm in business, okay? And when you can direct the attention to something really small, more so, and make that the bigger issue than the thing that is really big, you've done your job in business, whether that be from employee complaints or whether it be from consumer complaints, and make your problems those more so than the big one, which is what everybody wants to know is how much the NFL money it makes in the year. How much money do they make in a year? Is it $11 billion or is it $18 billion or is it what I think it is, $15 billion? And the extra $4 billion that they got, if it's 11 to 15, they can use them right off and pay off people right and left. It's just another way of laundering money, in my personal opinion. Take that for what it is. This issue is still what's out on the football field in the NFL, right? The situation. Cosby kid compared to a kid that grows up with the finer things of life, and he thinks differently than some other kids who may not have had that kind of upbringing, who maybe were brought up under different set of not necessarily rules, but just a different way of growing up. In the day and age where you could get the answer is go to fisticuffs. The answer is fight. More so than use your brains to try to get it done. And, folks, that's what Jonathan Martin has done. More so than handling it in the locker or out on the football field. And the two-edged sword in this is that this was going to make its way into the news media somehow. Whether him going ahead and just saying enough is enough and they drop the gloves, to use a hockey term, and go out there and go fisticuffs. We would hear about that story. This is just a different way than you're hearing the story. And it was handled so much differently. And me personally, I'm going to say that I think Jonathan Martin handled this the completely and utterly the right way. He filed his grievance. Now, granted, you went out of the chain of command. But you know what? The chain of command hasn't worked for two years. The coaches knew what was going on. Okay, and this comes from. And I'm going to tell you this right now. You want to go ahead and make some people not be a part of the problem here, but I'm going to tell you right now that if you honestly thought that the coaches did not know what was going on in this situation, I think you want to be completely blinded by and be in oblivion. Because football coaches know everything. Now, the head coach may not have known the full details, but even Philman knew what was going on in this situation. But maybe he didn't know the magnitude, because guess what? That magnitude is supposed to be handled by the offensive lineman, offensive coordinator. This is that Philman is the guy that has got to take care of the team. So what happened was is they had a complete failure in the support system of the coaching system that was in place in Miami. A complete and utter failure. And here's one other thing. I don't necessarily disagree with the coach trying to toughen up a player. I don't disagree with that. And the reason why is that's been a part of football forever. Forever, folks. And you can sit and deny it, but all you got to do is look at Mike Ditka. All you got to do is look at Bill Parcells. All you got to do is look at Mike Singletary. They're from the quote-unquote old school, and that's how they just handled things back in those days. They toughed it out. Bringing has a lot to do with how you handle things. And Jonathan Martin, I think, is being unfairly singled out because he has a different mindset on how things should go, whether that's out on the football field or whether it is in life. Now, does the NFL have a responsibility to change the atmosphere of the locker room? Well, now they have to. It's just like Bountygate. They knew what was going on. The NFL, hey, by the way, the NFL doesn't get a slide-by on this either. The NFL knows this was going on, and if they want to completely deny it, they could be the Paul Tagliabues of the world from Bud Selig's of the world, and to that certain extent, Paul Tagliabue too, but you want to sit in front of Congress and point and say, I did not know what was going on in that locker room. They want to be complete and utter liars. They can go ahead and do so. Okay? And any reporter knows that this is going on. And I'm going to tell you right now that any reporter has sat on more stories like this than they've actually published. This is a tough situation. This, because it pulls on a different way with me. Because I believe in what my daughter does on a daily basis regarding Abby's pledge and the bullying and her representation of herself and how she conducts herself as a young lady with Abby's pledge and her sincerity of wanting to make a change. And I think that's the huge difference. The NFL can learn a lot from a 10-year-old. Because what my 10-year-old is saying is it's time for a change. Okay? You can sit here and say all day long, well, that's been the quote-unquote status quo. But guess what, folks? The status quo is not always the correct answer on how to handle things. This is not the 1940s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and to that certain point, the early 2000s. This is 2013. And as much as I want to be old school and much as I am old school, I realize that my flip phone isn't going to last for a long time, not much longer, and I'm going to use it until it dies into where I can find something that I feel comfortable with later on. Ha ha! Until I find something that I'm comfortable with. I'm not comfortable with new school. I'm not comfortable with new rules. But guess what? That's the way of the world. And that's what this whole thing boils down to as far as the NFL is concerned. And they want to sit here and they want to go with all this. But guess what? Change happens and it goes right around you. And all you got to do is look at Mike Singletary as the head coach of the 49ers about how the game has gotten away from him because of the different thinking that goes on in the NFL and how many younger coaches there are out there more so than the old school kind of coaches. And even if there is an old school coach, one Bill Belichick, he's done the right thing, which is change along with the world, because guess what? If you don't change, you're going to be left behind. And that's why Bill Belichick's been the coach of the New England Patriots, and you don't hear stories like this coming out of New England, okay? Now, you'll hear about a murderer, but really, what can Bill Belichick do about a murderer in his clubhouse? He can't do anything about that. And with the different mentality of the young player with the right of entitlement, more so than a – and I'm going to tell you straight out, and I don't know Jonathan Martin, but I'm going to tell you right now, this guy's worked for everything he's had. Now, granted, did he come with a quote-unquote silver spoon in his mouth? Absolutely. But that's not his fault. That's his culture. That's what he was brought up in. I'm leaning on Jonathan Martin's side on this, and we haven't even got into the deepness of what Richie Incognito has done over his career. All you just got to say, he's got a checkered past, and it's more checkered than it really needs to be. And guess what? In the real world, Richie Incognito is completely and utterly guilty. And guess what? Jonathan Martin isn't. Just by the character of the person of who they are. And I don't like to use terms of history, but when I think about this whole Jonathan Martin thing, I hope people will look at Jonathan Martin, okay, and judge him by his character more so than some of his actions. And I don't know that full quote by Martin Luther King, but you know what I'm getting at. It's a tough subject. It's one of the harder subjects that are out there. And folks, we've been talking about this, and I only mentioned race once, and I'm not going to get into the voicemail too deeply. But what the voicemail does show is a classic bullying thing, and what Jonathan Martin, by trying to quote-unquote befriend Richie Incognito, is classic of what bullies do in order to kind of gain acceptance, which is try to befriend the bully. Now, you can deny that all you want, but I'm going to tell you right now, it doesn't get past my eye test. And a lot of this about how I feel about this situation as far as Richie Incognito and Jonathan Martin, I've been Jonathan Martin on many occasions. Getting pushed around, being bullied. And here's the thing. It could be at school. It could be outside of school. It could be amongst your friends. It could be at work. Some people even got to deal with it within their own family, for crying out loud. Let's just say I've been a part of it. I've been Jonathan Martin. And that's another reason why all this is. It's not the fact that I wasn't accepted for who I am. It's just the fact that why should they have to go through the quote-unquote initiation of certain cool guys of a football team, even though they went through the same thing? You know what? We live in a different time. That old school mentality, it should have been long beyond us. But us as traditionalists want to see the NFL and football remain the same. That's not happening. And as soon as a lot of people realize that that is not happening, which is where we're at right now, as soon as people realize that if you don't change with the times, you're not going to get the right kind of regular type of living. I mean, and I say that because if you let the times go past you, you don't own a computer. You don't own a smartphone, which I'm still working on that one. The times are flying around you, and you've got to be able to take those steps. And folks, I'm going to tell you right now, when computers came out, I wasn't afraid of them. I wanted to know more about them because guess what? I knew where they were going to be. And I can actually build one. I don't have any teaching. I just know how computers work. And I did that myself. Cell phones are a new... Hey, the digital age is here, folks. And it's going to be called something else because already digital televisions and high-definition televisions, that it couldn't get any better. Guess what? They're even finding a war way to make it more picture sharper than high-definition television. I'm sitting here thinking, I got this 48-inch high-definition television. I've never seen football play any clearer. I can't even imagine it getting any clearer, but guess what? They're going to figure that part out too. And sooner or later, I'm going to break down and buy one of those new TVs that are not high definition, but whatever the step above high definition television is, I'll eventually make that step. And the NFL needs to take that step. And I think that's my point in this whole thing. The NFL coaches and the players themselves have got to come up and remember what they learned when they were in elementary school. And I'm talking about the kids that play in the NFL today. The reason why I can't do my kids' math and help them with their homework is because they teach it differently. And I can't even fathom why, but they do. So this is a huge, huge story. I mean, we could get in deep, and this is your opportunity. 347-637-2306 is the number. And if you want to talk about Richie Incognito, you're more than welcome to. I actually literally can go on for more hours, and I'm actually going to pick that up in my show, in the Couch Potato Sports Show. So we'll kind of put this issue to the side, and we'll go on here. You're listening to Sports Talk with the guys. We have no big dog, no scorekeeper. Scorekeeper's moving. Big dog... probably didn't know if he was going to do the show or not. I let him know that I would help him do the show, and here I am hosting it. You can't let Sports Talk go Sports Talk with the Guys go without being on air. So that's why I was here. I woke up just for this situation in case that I was needed. And looks like I was needed. No one else here in the couch, here on Sports Talk with the Guys, no one else has called in. They kind of knew that that whole situation was going on. Maybe we'll get the big dog in a little bit later. Maybe scorekeeper will give a call in. Hell, who knows? But it doesn't matter. We are here on a Saturday morning and Sports Talk with the Guys. Now, unfortunately, the difference between my show and other shows that I do over on the Couch Potato Sports Show, I got music that we can talk about. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually take a break. We're going to take the 2 minutes on this side and 2 minutes on the other, or I'm going to go refresh the old coffee and hit the head, and when we come back, we'll talk about more sports, because believe it or not, there's more sports issues out there that we can talk about, and that's what we're going to do here in the second hour of Sports Talk with the Guys. It's Sonny Clark, the hardest working man in sports radio, filling in for Sports Talk with the Guys. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Bettis, trying to move the chain, is going to be racked up a yard short by Tom McManus.
You're looking at the classic overachiever. I wasn't your, you know, unbelievable, incredible athlete that you just had to have. The whole thing is my principles of life. I was taught by my father. My dad, living through those times, had adversity his whole life. You can imagine living through the Great Depression. My dad taught me so much about how to be in this world, about how to overcome, how to keep working, how to keep believing and earning it. In football, there's a saying that goes, the film doesn't lie. Anybody ever hear that before? Yeah? The film doesn't lie. What does it mean? You're on film. Did you make the play or not? Well, Here, let's rewind it 50 times, and you can sit there in front of your peers and have to deal with that. Out of position, not making the play, having bad technique, bad form. You cannot hide from the film. There's no way. There's no excuse. There's no reasoning. It is what it is. It's there on the film. What if the camera was on you? What if the camera was on you every day? In life and in business. What would it show? Only you know. Only you know. But if you had, say you're in business, you had to go sit with your boss every day, every week, every month. And he sat there and watched tape of you in action, making a sales call, doing administrative work, whatever. How about that? What were you doing at Wendy's for an hour and a half? They have Wi-Fi, I think. Yeah, it's on my computer. Nah. What happened to you during this sales call or this negotiation? Whatever, whatever the case may be. Now take it to life. What would it show your spouse, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your friends, your family? Film never lies. And I know it's tough to sit here and say you're going to live your life that the film's on me all the time. Say a quarter of the day, half of the day. What would it show? Only you know the answer. The film doesn't lie.
Back here on the Couch Potato Sports Show slash Sports Talk with the Guys. It's me, Sonny Clark, the hardest working man in sports radio. Tom McManus, one of my favorite guys in the whole wide world, by the way, as far as sports are concerned. A very highly intelligent guy. A guy that knows a lot when it comes to whether or not you're tough or not. This guy's part of it. He knows it. He knows what he does, and he knows where the answer. He knows a lot of the questions to those answers. So I guess when I look at Richie Incognito and all the stuff that is going on out there, it's going to be a real interesting situation when I'm able to get a hold of him and talk to him about those kind of things. And I bet you he can shine a different kind of light as far as that bullying, what that whole situation, because I think he's going to show you a difference. I think he's going to tell you a difference, the difference between what's been going on as far as Jonathan Martin is and the type of quote-unquote bullying that would be there. And I don't know. It's a tough situation. Tom McManus is one of these guys that really he has my respect, and I like to listen to what he says. Now, here's just something else, just to let people know that Tom McManus, a regular on the show, former defensive back for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Okay. This is a guy who knows what the game is all about. He knows what tough is, and he knows about what's called tough love. And maybe that's what needed to happen with Jonathan Martin. Maybe it didn't. But one thing I do know, and one thing that I understand about football, is that it's a totally and utterly different culture. It's almost like going from the black race to another race. And I say that with all due respect. It's just some people think differently. And it's because of the way that they were brought up. It's the way that they have had things given to them or not given to them. It's the way that some people have been treated over the years. And, I don't know. Can that be taught? I don't know. That's something that, in football, as a guy who played the game for just a little bit, I don't want to sit here and say I played this game for many years. I played for 2 years, and then I was a kicker. But there was a reason why I was a kicker. It's because I don't know if it wasn't because I wasn't tough enough or if I was afraid to get hurt. But let's give Tom McManus a call here. Let's see if we can bring him in, see if he's available. Maybe grab him up here. It's 10 o'clock over there. Hell, he was awake at 6. So let's see what Tom McManus has to say. Hopefully he answers the phone. Probably doesn't recognize this damn number. He's probably going, I'm not answering this phone.
Hey, this is Tom McManus. Thanks for the call. Hope you're good. If you're not good, get good. What's the matter with you? Leave me a message, I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Take care.
At the tone, please record your message.
We'll leave him a
when
message.
You have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Tom McManus, it's Sonny Clark. I am live on air. If you could give me a call before 11 at 347-637-2306, I'd appreciate it. And after that, after your time, 11 o'clock your time, we'll be on a different show, which is the telephone number is 347-215-7497. Just to get a quick take, and I know you're busy, but just a quick take on your thing and your feeling about Jonathan Martin and that situation with Richie Incognito. If you can do it, great. If not, we always thank you for at least giving us a thought and coming on to the show. So that's Tommy McManus here. And folks that don't know, Tom McManus is that tough guy that I actually looked up to. He's younger than I am. That's the kind of guy I could look up to. Now, I'm going to try this telephone number as well and see if I can get Coach E. And, folks, let me give you a quick background before I give him a call. Coach E, Coach Ellison. Coach Ellison worked on the minor league level, okay, the minor league level of football. He's actually doing it right now, trying to get someone ready to play in the NFL that didn't have the opportunity via college or whatever the case may be. He has sent over 100 players, okay, to that next level, whether it be indoor football, to the NFL, to other countries. This guy has done a lot of training. And it's a guy that I respect, and it's a guy that I believe. So let's go ahead and let's give Coach Ellison a call. Let's see if he answers the phone. He'll see that it's a New Jersey number, so he might answer. Calling Coach E, Coach Andrew Ellison. See, come on, Coach. My people waking up. Maybe he might be training this guy, so he might not even hear this phone. So looks like we're
you
not
have reached
hear
the Sprint
yep.
voicemail box of.
Andrew.
Yep. So we're not going to get Coach Ellison in here. Maybe he'll give us a call back and talk to us, but. And the reason why I wanted to call those two, these are two guys that I respect, and these are two guys that I see on a regular basis. And there's one other guy that I will try to get a hold of as we talk about this situation with Richie Incognito and that whole thing. So I would really love to know what other people's opinions are on this, because it's an interesting subject. And what I mean by interesting subject, I mean these are subjects that when you look at it and you ask yourself the question, and that question is who are you going to be? What kind of person are you going to be? And it can be as simple as that. And whether it be good, bad, indifferent, these kind of situations are a tough, tough thing to talk about. And I think what it's actually a really interesting thing of what can go on in football. I say that because there's a lot of people I respect within the business. And that's what I'm trying to do, because I want to get a coach's perspective in this whole situation. Or, you know, and I'm going to try one more. I'm going to call the head coach of the former head coach of the Texas Revolution, and those that listen to the Couch Potato Sports Show know what he is the head coach of the Texas Revolution of the Indoor Football League. Now the head coach of the Nashville Venom over in the PIFL, the Professional Indoor Football League. Let's see if we can get him on. And let's cancel and let's try it again, because that call did not go through. Let's see if we can get him online. All right, and it says that the call. And I just want to try one more time. There's Cuervo. He is in the room. And let's see here. Is that the number? Let me hit this one button. You'll hear some noise. That's the reason why. I dialed the wrong number. That's the reason why. I did it backward. That's my dyslexia working. Let's do this. Let's try to get the head coach of the Texas Revolution, now head coach of the Nashville Venom, online. Let's try to see if we can get him. Hopefully I'm not waking him up.
Hello.
Head coach Billy back at Sonny Clark. I'm on live. Do you got a moment to talk to me?
Yeah.
Hey, Billy, we're talking a little bit, and I wanted to bring in a coach's perspective on the situation, and you probably know which way I'm going on the Richie Incognito situation and the Jonathan Martin situation. So I wanted to see if I could get your take about that whole situation, and I'm sure you've heard all the stories and been keeping up with what's going on. And the Richie Incognito as pertaining to the coach's side?
I think, you know, a lot of things have been said to where, you know, some stuff that take place in a locker room, you just stay in a locker room. Some stuff that
right.
take place on a bus, traveling, staying on a bus. And so I think, you know, Richie Incognito has an argument that he thought he was friends. I mean, there's that talk happens everywhere in indoor football and in outdoor football.
Right.
You know, it's all part of a playful game. It's not a racist bigot or anything like that acting the way they act. It's football players having fun with each other, talking to each other in a certain manner. And like I said, some things just need to stay in-house. And I think Jonathan Martin crossed the line. You know, if I was a Dolphin player, it'd be hard to have Jonathan Martin come back, you know, because he's opened up a lot of worms, you know, with what he's exposed and the text messages, the voicemails. I mean, it's there's a guy code, and then again, there's a sensitivity level of some people
yes.
too. So just the way I take it, you know, for me, it's he needed to confront Incognito himself if he had a problem with it, opposed to making everything public.
And when you have that problem in the locker room, I think you just said it, and so I'll give you the opportunity to say it. When you got that kind of problem in the locker room, it's hard to get that trust back from that player, wouldn't it be? I mean, is it hard to be able or
right.
is there an opportunity to give forgiveness to the player for that kind of egregious act against the locker room?
Well, once he's went out of it, you know, out of the realm of in-house opportunity, I think, yeah, you lose the trust of him, you know, because it's, you know, some things are where, you know, he should have just confronted it. Or, you know, if it was that bad, then why didn't the coach know about it? You know, why didn't he take it to the coach and say, hey, I got this guy, you know, on me all the time, saying these things to me, and confront it that way if it was such a big deal, you know, and
mm-hmm.
opposed to just leaving the team, not telling anybody, and then making everything that was said public. Yeah, so the trust issue would be gone. You know, I would trust the player. You know, and honestly, I don't feel sorry for him because he didn't make it public to his coaching staff. He didn't make it public to anybody else that could you know, do something to it and you know, put a stop to it. So for what he's doing, it's almost like he's really, really sensitive, or he just wants to, you know, to get attention is what it seems like to me.
And a lot of other guys are saying different. So folks that don't know, we're online with the new head coach of the Nashville Venom as well as the former coach of the Texas Revolution. I just wanted to get some insight as far as an organization, as far as football is concerned. My question I would ask you, Billy, is did the coaches really not know about this? I mean, as a head coach of a football team, yours was a little bit smaller squad, obviously, in the indoor league and things of that sort, and you've coached on the other one. But really, did the coaching staff not really know what was going on? Because there have been reports that the coaches told Incognito to toughen this guy up.
Oh, I'm sure they knew about it. I'm sure they knew
yeah.
about it. I'm sure that they knew what Incognito was saying to him, and, you know, and they probably took it the same way that the other players took it. Like Ryan Tannehill was saying that they were, you know, appeared to be friends. You know, why else would they hang out with each other? You know, the $30,000 meal that he said he paid for, he chipped in on it. All the rookies paid for it. So a lot of stuff he's
right.
saying is fabricated. But you know, of course, the coaching staff knew about it. You know, in our team last year, if somebody had that problem, I guarantee you, from the kicker all the way to the biggest guy on the team, that person would have confronted the other person.
Yep.
You know, Brett Pettacore is our kicker. He wasn't afraid to say what he was thinking to players.
Oh, no. Brett Pettacore would have got in someone's face if need be.
Right. And, you know, and if it was A.J. Nicholson, you know, everybody would, you know, but everybody meshed real well last year and everybody got along. And so, you know, for that, but then again, the NFL has a bigger squad, it's a bigger organization.
Right.
You know, maybe the head coach might not have known about it, but maybe an assistant and a whole line coach may have knew about it. But still, there, you know, the coaching staff is keeping it in-house still. Not a single coach said, yeah, we did, or no, we didn't. They're avoiding the question. So you know, that's what should have been done by Jonathan Martin. And, you know, a lot of people that agree, that think it's bullying, you know, have never been in a football locker room. Have never
right.
been part of a initiation is what you like to call it. I mean, when I was a senior in high school, we initiated the freshmen. So it just went back all the way to 97, you know, for me. When I was a freshman in 93, 94, I got hazed, you know, and it was something where you get through it, you get past it, and, you know, you're embraced. You know, Jonathan Martin, I think, was embraced. I think he just I just think he's a different breed of football player, I think, to be honest with you. I just you know, what he did, it's shocking to a lot of people that play football. You know, when you hear a white guy say the N-word, you know, you think, oh, he's a racist. You know, was that said N-word's gone around everywhere. Everybody says it, you know, and it's stupid that people want to say it's race every time you hear it, you know, and in reality it's a part of the human language now, you know, whether you want to say it or not, because we've got other people saying it to each other in a joking conversation. It's just another word to me. I never say it. I hate it, to be first off, but when I hear somebody else say it, if there's hatred behind it, you know, it's just another word. But to me, you know, here in the locker room, it's lingo to hear, you know, James Frazier say it to Marcus Jackson or so forth. You know, I don't think I ever heard Marcus say it either, but I mean, just to hear it back and forth, you're accustomed to hearing it. And so for Richie to be joking around, you know, and there is honorary black people, you know, got white guys or honorary black guys, you know, it's just the way things go in a locker room. You know, people that don't know that haven't been in a locker room, like I said, obviously. But, you know, and that's being said because everybody gets along in a football locker room. You know, everybody is fighting for one goal. They're busting their butts. They're sweating their balls off together as a team. And so it's just everybody's a human, you know, in there. Mm-hmm. It's not a race thing. And so for Richie to say it to Jonathan Martin, you know, I'm sure he said it to Jonathan before. Jonathan said something to him, or he said it to another O lineman there or whatever. You know, Richie Incognito is a dirty player on the field, but, I mean, I just think this is blown way out of proportion. And I'm really sick of watching it on SportsCenter, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, well, exactly, because it's lead story every hour on top of the hour. Now, and one more question. This is the head coach of the new Nashville Venom, as well as the former coach of the Texas Revolution of the Indoor Football League. As the NFL is expanding and it's getting bigger and it's changing along, I mean, because, you know, things that happen out on the football field, you can't hit this way anymore. You got to change it. So there's been kind of like a change of, you know, the game itself, even on the football field, at least at the NFL level. How much can the NFL get involved with that locker room, and should they get involved with that locker room in order to make sure that if this is going to become a major issue, that it gets changed?
I think they need to put Richie Incognito and Jonathan Martin in the same room together, let them talk about it, and resolve it that way. I really don't think, you know, initially came out, yeah, you're thinking, yeah, he should be suspended. But, you know, after realizing what a locker room is, what you do in a locker room, that's where individuals bond to the teams in a locker room. I mean, you've got guys in locker rooms that will walk around just their jock strap, you know, singing and dancing and joking around. I mean, it's funny, you know, and you laugh about it. It's a great time. You know, it's one of the reasons why a lot of people like to play football, is because the camaraderie you have in the locker rooms, the road trips with guys, you know, just getting to know each other and you know, and meeting new people. And so I think the NFL shouldn't have any hands-on. I think, you know, because you can't control what happens on every locker room. And I guarantee you that that stuff that the Dolphins exposed has happened in every single NFL locker room this season.
Yep.
Just Jonathan Martin's, you know, the only one that's going to make it all public and make it, you know, put a bad rap on the NFL.
Well, plus, let's be honest, Coach, there's a reason why fans are not allowed in the stadium or in the arena an hour before a game. I mean, really, I mean, if you think about it, I've been getting ready for the show that we bring, the play-by-play. I've been in the arenas 3 hours before, and it's a totally different atmosphere than when it is an hour before when the fans start coming in there. So it is a different world as far as the football. Forget the NFL. Football itself is kind of like its own little, you know, little universe within itself.
Right. It's their office. It's a player's office. The locker room is the player's office. That's like any CEO has his door shut in his office, you know, at his own time. The locker room is an athlete's office.
Right.
And so what they do in their office is prepare for their job. You know, if a CEO has to shut his door to read a profile to get ready for a presentation, well, an NFL player shuts the door in their locker room and gets their minds right to do whatever they got to do to get prepared to go, you know, play a football game, which they get paid for. And
right.
that's the biggest thing. A lot of people are overlooking it. It's their personal space, it's their office. You know, those guys that went through camp together, those guys that went through hard sweat practices together, and, you know, they deserve the opportunity to joke and laugh and hang out with each other and, you know, and be, you know, be together. You know, I know Desmond Howard, I watched him talk about it. You know, it's bullying. It is bullying in a sense, too, because, you know, it's hazing. But, I mean, you know, bullying happens everywhere. It's not the same type of bullying that goes on in schools. And I don't think it should be compared to that because it's not nearly as serious as what happens in schools. And these are
right.
two grown football players that sit next to each other, that play on the offensive line next to each other, that go to dinner with each other, that know each other personally. And I think it should have been a case where Jonathan Martin should have confronted Ricky Incognito and said, hey, man, you got to stop saying these things to him because you're really getting to him. If he would have said
right.
that, I'm pretty sure it probably been stopped. But
definitely.
Instead, he went and made everything public. He made it public, and now it's a bullying thing. I honestly think it's putting a less milder look at bullying, you know, opposed to what's really going on in the school system. The school districts, you know, schools have major problems with young kids getting bullied that can't stand up for themselves. You know, this is a 6'6", 300-pound individual that is a grown man and should be able to stand up for himself. You know, and I don't think it's near in the same category, and it kind of upsets me that they're even trying to make it as a, you know, have psychologists come on ESPN and talk about bullying because it's not the same thing.
Right.
To me, I think it just it's somebody wanting attention and couldn't deal with his problems, you know, by himself, if it was problems. But you know,
exactly.
Like I said, I think if he had said something, Richie Incognito would have been like, oh, you know, I'm sure he gave him a little bit more hard time. But then in the long run, he'd have been like, yeah, I probably should, you know, tail back off some things I said. So I just think
he
was all wrong from the beginning.
Yeah, he's in a different world, and sometimes you just got to realize the culture that you're in. You may be from a different culture, you know, as far as the way you were grown up, but when you hit the football field, that's a totally different culture as well. So he is head coach Billy Back of the Nashville Venom, as well as a former head coach of the Texas Revolution. The games that we heard from him week after week in the pregame show. Billy, thanks for your time, my friend. I hope you have a good weekend.
I want to say something too, Sonny. What I just said on this interview is something a lot of people are afraid to say.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people want to say the right things and try to say what people think and want to hear. I'm going to tell you what I think personally. Every time you ask me
yeah.
a question, it's going to be the exact answer what I think. So if I offended anybody, I don't apologize.
That's not its intent.
Get tough and go take it public.
That's not its intent, and that's the reason why I called you, because I knew I would get those kind of answers, because I don't interview active players, especially on an issue like this. I would interview a retired player or a coach that I know that would give me the answer instead of the quote-unquote PC answer, and that's the reason why I
right.
picked up the phone to give you a call. I appreciate your time this morning.
Well, you can call me anytime, brother.
You got it, my friend. Take care and good luck to you over in Nashville. He is Billy Back. Have a good one, my friend.
All right. See you, Sonny. Have a good day.
You too. And folks, it is a different atmosphere that's out there as far as football players are concerned. It's a different world. It's a different culture. It's not what you get when you're walking down the street and you're in the mall, okay, or even in your own household, okay? It's a different world, and that's one of the reasons why you didn't see Sonny Clark in the locker room. There's no place for Sonny Clark in that locker room. It's a different world. I know what that locker room is, and I know what kind of fraternity that locker room as well is, too. And that's why I compared it to Animal House, not necessarily for it to be a negative, but that's the kind of fraternity that football players and, you know, that they enjoy in that locker room. It is that sanctuary. It's like their own little church, and they're all members of the same religion, and that religion is football. And there are different people that walk through the doors of different churches, and that kind of thing might not be their cup of tea, and maybe they need to go to a different church. And whether or not that they can find that type of church of football at another church or another team in this case, or whether they can't. That's going to be the question when you look at this issue, is can or will Jonathan Martin end up being on another football team or not. So we've talked about it for an hour and a half, you know, and head coach, I brought Billy in for a reason. Billy is, like he said, he's going to give it to you the way he sees it. This guy's been in locker rooms and he knows what's going on. We tried to get Tommy McManus in here to get his side, and I'm going to tell you right now, I don't think there would be much of a difference of the answers of the questions that I asked Billy back compared to Tommy McManus. I believe that. Because it is a different culture. It would almost be like us walking in, okay, regular people walking in, regular people here like me, Sonny Clark, or Cuervo, who has joined us in the chat room, walking over into Asia and understanding everything they did and why they did it. That's what an NFL locker room is. And that's what you get. Hey, and speaking of the devil, there he is. How you doing, Cuervo? Actually, no, that's the scorekeeper. How you doing, scorekeeper? All right, who the hell is the 323? Who's the 323 area code caller? You're on live. And they don't want to talk. Or have I frozen out here? Hope I haven't frozen out here. Da-da-da-da. Let me put him on mute and bring back in the 323. Let me see if I... Are you there, 323? And whoever's the 323 is just listening, and thanks for giving us a listen. I'm going to put you back on mute. The 323 area code, if you want in, press that one button so I know that you're in. You're listening to Sports Talk with the guys. It's Sonny Clark, the hardest working man in sports radio, filling in for the guys this morning as Roger Noriega is in the middle of moving. And I don't know if the big dog was going to be available or if he thought that the show would be canceled, but... we didn't want to do that. We wanted to make sure that the streak goes on as far as Sports Talk with the guys are concerned. We wanted to make sure that folks that were listening as far as that is concerned wanted to keep hearing it. You're listening to Sports Talk with the Guy. A lot of things, I mean, believe it or not, there's been other stories in sports this week besides this. But Billy was right. It has commanded the airwaves, and you know, and I waited until actually yesterday because I filled in for Matt Alvarez yesterday over on the Sports Opinion Show, and I waited until then to put it out there and talk about it. And Cuervo, if he gets the opportunity, he'll give us a call in. Maybe he can or not. I don't know. It's 9:29 here on a Saturday morning. There's some other things that, like I said, that have happened out there. And I want to go to the NBA really quick because I was thinking about the NBA, and I was hoping Big Dog would be here. And so the Big Dog not here unless maybe is the 323. Let's try it again. Is the 323. Want to talk, yes or no? And I'm not hearing anything on the end, so we'll put him back on mute. But I wanted to talk a little bit about the NBA because there's some stuff that has happened. Big-time game the other night, and I'm, of course, talking about the game with the Lakers and Dwight Howard making his not debut for the Rockets, but playing up against the Lakers. And, folks, it was an interesting situation. The Lakers win that game, by the way, by one. And what did they do? The Lakers did exactly what they probably should do because they know the guy that played on that team last year. Foul him at the end. The guy can't make a free throw shot. I'll tell you, my father, I love my father. He's a funny character. But when I played basketball, he didn't want to hear excuses about not making free throws. And I'll tell you that my father was not a great big fan of Shaquille O'Neal because he couldn't do it. And I'm going to tell you my dad's not a big fan of Dwight Howard because that guy missed 5 of 6 field goals or free throws in the last minute of that basketball game. So I guess I'm going to have to ask the question, okay? Did the Lakers know him very well to where they knew that they had to do it? Or that's just the way it played out there. So that's the big question when you talk about the Lakers And I say that in a good way, because the Lakers are a different animal when I and I mean animal in a different way. They're a different basketball team. And that type of basketball team there is one of those teams, the Lakers, that doesn't necessarily have to be smart to be good, but they are smart. And guess what? They went directly after Dwight Howard. By the way, how come we didn't see I see Dwight Howard as a different player, not because I dislike the guy. I've watched him. He almost kind of reminds me of Jonathan Martin. He's a different guy. He's not your atypical basketball player, is he? I mean, when you think of the greats, okay, and this, hey, and you can say what you want. The guy's got an ego, and he wants to be known as a great. And those that don't believe that don't necessarily know what that whole situation is over there. But here's what I will tell you. He wants to be known as great. He wants to be known as a guy that puts it out on the field and be known as one of the best to ever play the game. And I, for a second, don't believe that he doesn't feel that way. I believe he feels that way, 100%. And I don't think, you know, and with him being down in Houston, you know, I guess he wants to be known as the, but he doesn't want to take that step forward to be that guy. I mean, he wants to be the guy, but he doesn't seem like he really wants to take that step forward to be the leader of the team that he's on. And it's kind of interesting when you think about it, and I say this as well. If you think about what kind of player Dwight Howard is compared to what he wants to be perceived as a player, I think they're two different things. So let's go ahead and do this.
Oh, you didn't know?
I do recognize that 2-1.
Your ass better call somebody.
It's Cuervo on a Saturday morning before we get into the Couch and Tan Sports Show. He's on Sports Talk with the guys here on a Saturday morning. How you doing there, Cuervo?
What's up, Sonny? I'm good. How are you this morning?
I'm doing really well. After I got the coffee in me and started running, I rolled out of bed at 7 o'clock. I was like, I don't know how I'm going to do this, but it's amazing what coffee can do to you in the morning in order to get you ready to talk about sports.
Absolutely. That's why 90% of the time I can't start the show without the coffee either. But, yeah, I agree 100%.
So it's Saturday morning here on Sports Talk with the guys. So I got another guy in here. I got Cuervo. Cuervo, you heard I know you were online. You heard the interview with head coach Billy Back, who was the former coach of the Texas Revolution and now is the coach of the Nashville Venom of the PIFL, the Professional Indoor Football League. And you heard directly from a coach and a coach's perspective of what's going on. Now, granted, it's not the NFL level, but I think it's enough. What did you think about that interview and what he said?
Well, I mean, it's always good to get it from a different point of view instead of just people that are fans of the game or they're the analysts that you hear on ESPN. You get it from somebody that's been there and that actually knows what goes on in locker rooms, the way people talk to each other, things like that. And I mean, it's good to get that perspective. So I thought it was a well done interview. I didn't hear every single word that was, you know, said and whatnot, but what I did hear, I thought was pretty, you know, pretty spot on as far as what I personally think goes on. You know, it's certain things that have been done for years, Sonny, and it's just not going to stop because one person was like, oh, you know, this offends me, or oh, I don't like the way you're treating me. It's not going to stop just because one person, you know, feels that way.
Well, very interesting point, but then the question that I have to ask you then, Cuervo, as you make that statement there, the NFL has been known to get involved with the locker room. All you have to do is think back to Bountygate, and how much of an effect that the NFL has regarding Bountygate, or are you just like me that I don't believe Bountygate is done? I don't think that teams don't do it. I still think that there are prices on guys' head. They're just not stupid enough to write it down, and I've seen that, but just by some of the hits that have happened into the NFL to this point this season. That having been said, the NFL is going to get involved with this situation, and they're going to lay down the law, I guess you can say. Is it going to have any effect at all, or is it going to be taken seriously? Because here's the thing. On Bountygate, I don't know. There's a lot of money involved with Bountygate and fines and stuff like that. It makes you kind of wonder what the result's going to be regarding Jonathan Martin and Richie Incognito are concerned, whether it be fines, suspensions, or anything else. What do you think?
Well, what do I think as far as what's going to happen to those two, or just based up, but just what you said?
No, just based upon the NFL getting involved and what, you know, the NFL had to get involved with Bountygate. They had to put their nose in it and say something about it. The question I think is does the NFL get involved with this? And if they do, how much do you think it's going to actually go, you know, be a part of what they're going to push or try to promote in order to keep other people's minds off of other things?
Certainly, I think Roger Goodell has no choice but to get involved. I mean, I don't think this is something you could just sweep under the rug. And the big reason I say that is because this has gone beyond sports. Okay,
right.
This is top story on Good Morning America. This is on the front page of the USA Today. So it's not just a sports related incident anymore. This is, you know, CNN. This is, like I said, USA Today, Good Morning America. Heck, they're probably going to do an article on 60 Minutes sometime in the near future about this incident. So I think Roger Goodell, he's got his hands tied, Sonny. He has no choice but to take very strong action on this.
I think you're right. I think I don't think there's a way he can get around it. I think there's something that is right there and ready to go. The big dog and I were up until 3 a.m., the 323 caller, but I'm unavailable to talk. Got it. So the 323 is the scorekeeper. I just happened to see that up on my Facebook as the thing was, you know, apply. By the way, Tarvin is in Tennessee. Is it the Tennessee game that's going on today at Auburn and Tennessee?
Yeah, and Auburn is in Knoxville right now. I was actually invited to the game by Tarvin. However, this was the one weekend that I can't leave Chicago, so I had to decline it. And from what he was telling me, the seats are pretty nice. So.
Pristine is what he said.
Yeah.
Pristine is what I was hearing. So.
Well, you know how Tarvin is. He always likes to talk things up. But, I don't know. I'm sure he'll take pictures and things like that. And, you know, we'll see how good those seats were. But, it's too bad that I couldn't meet up with him.
Definitely, it would have been cool to get like a simulcast on what was going on up there live and with you guys together. Let's do this. Let's give Tom McManus one more chance to pick up the phone. So we're going to give Tom McManus a call here and see if we can get you know him. He's really up. It sounded like it went right to voicemail. So he probably doesn't want to talk about it. So I thought I'd give him one more chance as we got 20 minutes, so we could steal maybe 10, 15 minutes of that time. Come on, Tommy, answer the phone. Get lucky.
Hey, this is Tom McManus. Thanks for the call. Hope you're good.
There you go. So no Tommy, no Tom McManus. I was just hoping I could get him on. Maybe we'll try him over there. By the way, I was talking about the Lakers and Dwight Howard and the situation. I mean, that game, the Houston Rockets taking on the Lakers. Cuervo, just really quick, as we'll roll through a couple of things here before we get on over to the Couch Potato Sports Show. Did the Lakers know to foul Dwight Howard in the last minute of the game, as he missed 5 of 6 free throws in the last minute of that game, and they end up losing by one? Boy, oh boy, is that a team that knows who they had on the other side right there?
Oh, absolutely, and I think the whole NBA knows that, Sonny. They know he's a poor free throw shooter, and obviously he didn't work on it in the offseason, so... but he was too busy crying his way out of L.A., so that's what he was busy doing. But, you have to know the people that you're playing against. That's not cheating either for anybody that even thinks about taking it there. That is not cheating. It's just knowing your opponent, like you
strategy.
Said. And you have to give yourself the upper hand some way, somehow. And I mean, it's – what is it called? Not Hack a Dwight, but I thought they had another name for it. But anyways, that's the approach that the Lakers took and got them a win. So
yeah,
good for them.
And that was a very, very interesting thing. And I knew it was going to be a good game, but there's some other thing. And we're going to talk about this in our next hour over on the Couch Potato Sports Show. But let me ask you a question. What the hell happened to Oregon? I mean, I know you're a college guy, college football guy, but what the hell happened on Thursday night? And by the way, I picked Stanford in that game. And main reason why, and we talk about it on the show, this was a night game. This was a game where Stanford was at home. That's a tough place for Oregon to go on and hit the road, my friend. What the hell happened to Oregon?
Well, what happened to Oregon, Sonny, is that, first of all, they played them, you know, this is by far the most toughest game that they've played so far. But
without question.
But they played a physical team. They played a physical team, Sonny, and those are the teams that can hang with Oregon. If you're a finesse or just not a very physical playing football team, you're not going to hang with this Oregon squad. And I mean, I think the thing I'm impressed with the most, though, is the fact that Stanford held them to 0 points going into the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And Oregon turned it up. They turned it on in the fourth quarter, but it was too late. It was too much of a hole to dig themselves out of. And, Stanford got them the win. But it's always, if you look back, Sonny, at the teams that Oregon loses to, it's always the big physical teams that run the ball and they keep Oregon's offense off the field. So, and that's what they ran into Thursday night with Stanford.
And by the way, just to make sure that people say, Sonny, you're lying. By the way, what I meant is why I picked Stanford. I picked Stanford in the points. I thought Oregon would win. But on the betting ranks, I picked Stanford, and I took the 12, which ended up obviously being good. And I also took the over, which is where I lost, which really pissed me off. I mean, there was no offense in that game, which we kind of expected some big numbers to come out of that game. In fact, let me see if I have it. Yep, I have it right in front of me. At the time that the bets were taking place, the Oregon-Stanford, the over-under was only, and I say this in jest, okay, the over-and-under was only 62. And you're talking about two, offensive juggernauts. I think they both ran into kind of physical football teams. I think defensively that Oregon was halfway decent. Now, I'll say halfway decent. I won't say they were great or anything, but that was, I think, the performance that they did defensively was enough for them to win the football game if the offense showed up there, Cuervo.
Yeah, and I mean, it worked for one team, but not quite for the other. So, I mean, you got to give a lot of credit to Stanford, though. A lot of people felt like this was a team that was hit or miss. I mean, either they were going to run the table and win the Pac-12, go to the Rose Bowl, possibly a national championship game, or they were just going to fall apart and lose four games. And, I mean, they're still staying on pace. And when the BCS comes out Sunday night, Sonny, I fully expect Stanford to be the number three team in the nation. They're gonna definitely jump Ohio State and become number three. I don't know if they're going to pass Florida State at two. I doubt it because of the fact that Florida State's undefeated. But they're definitely going to be number three.
Well, I disagree with you. I think they're going to be number four because I think Baylor might have, and I say might have done enough to make that step because of the BCS. The AP poll will have them, you know, a little bit lower. You know, that's just the way the AP works. But maybe in the BCS, where do you think Baylor is going to be ranked up on the BCS poll when it comes out?
I think Baylor will probably they may even pass up Ohio State, Sonny. But I think they're going to move up to five. I don't think they're going to go past. I don't think they're going to pass up Ohio State just yet, because.
Well, that all depends upon today. Who's Ohio State got today?
Ohio State is playing. They're playing nobody. Ohio State doesn't play this week, Sonny.
Oh, got it. All right, very good. Very good. So, and that might hurt them. Hey, Cuervo, with the BCS, that might hurt them because, boy, oh, boy, it's very interesting to when you're not playing, you're not in the thought of you can't get the stats. They're not there. So I think that might have an effect when it comes to the BCS Bowl. And of course, I don't believe in the BCS rankings. I believe in the AP rankings myself. That's the reason why I follow it. But with that rankings and with the way the BCS Bowl, it wouldn't surprise me if they did get the extra push.
I mean, I'm not – you can't rule it out, Sonny.
Yep.
But I think what's going to hurt Ohio State is the rest of their schedule is weak. It's weak. I mean, next Saturday they play Illinois. They play Indiana. Then they finish it off against an unranked Michigan team. So it's a fairly weak schedule for Ohio State. But the only way they're going to be able to stay pace, being in the top four, possibly top five, is if they go out there and they blow these teams out. That's the only hope that Ohio State has. So would it surprise me if Baylor jumped up to four? No, but I don't think it's going to happen. I just don't think that the polls are they're not going to be in favor of Baylor just yet. I think people still want to see a little bit more out of Baylor. And they're going to have opportunities, Sonny. They still got a couple of big games, being Baylor. I mean, they play Texas Tech next week. Then they're at Oklahoma State the following week. So I think once they hit those games, that's when you're going to see Baylor possibly move up to four because, I mean, let's face it, Texas Tech and Oklahoma State, they're a little bit better than Illinois and Indiana.
More so than Oklahoma. Oklahoma got beat. Baylor just beat the snot out of them. It was one of those things. And what we're going to do on the Couch Potato Sports Show, the first hour, we're going to do college. Second, we're going to be talking NFL news. Not picks, but NFL news. And if college rolls over, so be it. That's the way we can end up doing it. But let's give them a little taste. I mean, Tony Romo versus RG3, Cuervo. It's one of those questions that we've been hearing in the media. Who's better?
Do I have to pick one, Sonny?
Well, hold on. Don't do it yet. We'll do that over on the Couch Potato Sports Show, and I'll give you time to think about who's better and some other things that are going on in the NFL and some of the Cowboys get the Saints this week. It's going to be an interesting game because the new one out there is the NFC Least, which is the NFC East, which is really good. But some interesting things that, you know, hey where's the D for Washington? I picked Minnesota, by the way, in that game, and the reason why I picked them that is because there has been no defense, and even if they were good against the run, which I did not check the stats, I thought Adrian Peterson would be enough. for that football team in order to win the football game. And sure enough, Adrian Peterson goes off and beats Washington while everybody is going on about the NFC least. And then you get Washington they literally no-showed when Minnesota came to town.
They did, Sonny, and I mean, it didn't surprise me. I mean, I felt that Washington was going to have a down year. I mean, the 3-6 now, and, you know, for people that really thought that Washington was going to win this division again, I mean,
they're still talking about, you know, Washington going on the run. Now, granted, they play in the NFC least. Those games are literally a coin flip for the rest of the season. I don't know how anybody can feel confident about the Redskins winning 6 more games for the rest of the season. I don't get it. And not because of RG3. I'm talking about the defense. That defense is just god-awful over there. They're not even showing up.
Oh yeah, yeah. They're pretty bad at Washington. And just to kind of put it in perspective, Sonny, as far as how bad this Redskin defense is, let's just say, I mean, they only gave up 307 yards of offense. But when you think about it, you know, they gave up a lot. I mean,
yep.
Even though they had at the wrong time, Cuervo,
at the wrong time.
Yeah. Well, and that's what it's all about. So, you know, on paper, the defense isn't that bad. It's just when you watch the games, it's like, wow. And when you really need to stop or when you really need to make a play, it doesn't happen. So,
yep,
it's that's what you look at with the Redskins. And I'm trying to – oh, third downs. So they gave up 6 out of 10 third downs, and I think that's what really killed this Redskin defense.
Yeah, big time. And get this, and this is according to the numbers. And granted, you know, these numbers are from ESPN, but there was a 92% win probability for the Washington Redskins in the third quarter. So by the end of the third quarter, there was 92% chance that the Washington Redskins were going to win that football game, and their defense let them down. So that's the only situation that you take a look at and you go, wow, that just goes to show how bad the fourth quarter was in that football game. I mean, you only had an 8% chance of losing that game, and you couldn't overcome 8%. That tells you a lot about the defense. Now I'm in full agreement with folks out there that are saying RG3 looks better. He does. He looks a lot better. But here's the thing. If you're not getting that defensive help, it doesn't matter how good you are offensively, i.e. the Dallas Cowboys. And the Dallas Cowboys, you know, their whole situation this week is going to be an interesting game this week as far as the Cowboys are concerned against the Saints. Also, another interesting game, and then we're going to take a 5-minute break. We're going to jump off here early. Philly and Green Bay, it should be a really interesting game, and we're going to get your ideas and your thoughts on it. So what we're going to do here, folks, is we're going to go ahead and we're going to stop this show so we can get some refill on coffee and everything else that needs to happen, and we'll get on over to the Couch Potato Sports Show, okay? Sound good, Cuervo?
All right. That sounds good, Sonny. I'll see you on the other side.
Yep, so we'll be on the other side and over on the Couch Potato Sports Show. So make sure you give us a call, 347-215-7497. That's the number to get in online over there. And we're going to take that break, and when we come back, it's time to talk more sports. We'll be right back on the Couch Potato Sports Show.